This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Pop-Tarts.
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 Yes.
Yeah, not a sponsor. Not a sponsor.
Nope. No. Any reason this one was on your mind, Lauren?
Oh, it could have been anything. Yeah. I love that y'all are getting to experience like my slow descent into complete chaos. Yeah, it maybe the last time that I was searching for brands, and we landed on Pop Rocks.
Mm-hmm. At large.
There was, I was like, ooh, different quest, different day. And now is the day.
Now is the day. And this one, as with many of these brand episodes, is super fun.
Oh, yeah.
It goes all over the place. It's just they're always such a delight to research.
They are. And then I feel weird about feeling so like enthused about a commercial product.
Yeah.
I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh man, capitalism, so good.
'Tis the season, Lauren.
Heartwarming.
Well, it's just so interesting, though. Like, there's something that is fascinating to me about someone, a company, an entity, or just people who work for that company who are so into a product, who think so deeply about all of the marketing and all of the flavors and all of these different ideas that they tried, which, by the way, we're going to discuss. They tried a lot of different things with Pop-Tarts.
They did.
It's just really fascinating to me.
Yeah, that, like, Pop-Tarts, of all things, like, something that is to us, to me, anyway, so kind of, like, back of mind and benign.
Yes.
Like, it's just not really... Like, I'm never really thinking about Pop-Tarts.
Well, we have a great Jerry Seinfeld fact for you at the end of this one about that. But, I think I've talked about this before. I don't dislike Pop-Tarts, but they're definitely not my thing. They've never been my thing except for a very, very brief period in middle school, I think.
Oh, middle school. Ooh, wow. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to have them when I was growing up. It was one of those, like, banned processed foods that my dad was like, no. like, jarred Cheese Whiz, yes. Pop-Tarts, yeah. Ridiculous. Which meant that when I went to college, I was like, okay, I need to try all of these. And I did have like a little bit, like a couple years in college where I think the brown sugar and cinnamon non-frosted Pop-Tarts, those were my thing. And I don't think I ever heated them up. Just, yeah.
I didn't either, but I wish I had. I think I would have liked them more if I had.
I always found that there was something about that like sort of chemical flavor that you get from them that sort of intensifies when they're warm, and I didn't appreciate that. So,
okay. Well, it's interesting because when I went through my Pop-Tart phase, strawberry was definitely my favorite.
Okay.
But I ate them cold. I went through a much bigger toaster strudel phase.
Oh, right.
Which is hilarious because I read so many articles about, like, why have no other products been able to compete with Pop-Tarts? And toaster strudel was a big one where, like, no, it didn't succeed.
Never took off. Yeah.
No, but when I got to college, a lot of people I met loved Pop-Tarts. And I loved hearing them rate the flavors and, like, do you heat it up or do you not heat it up? How do you cut it? Do you not cut it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Those preferences, I just very much enjoyed hearing about. oh my gosh. And people do love them. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I guess, brings us to our question.
I suppose so.
Pop-Tarts. What are they?
Well, Pop-Tarts are a brand of sweet prepackaged pastries that are hypothetically meant to be warmed in a pop-up toaster before eating as a breakfast food or a snack. They come in a number of flavors and formats, but generally what you're talking about when you're talking about Pop-Tart is a flat rectangle of like firm to crumbly cookie type dough. Like biscuit type dough, maybe. Sort of small, like 3 by 5 inches. That's a scant 8 by 13 centimeters. And there's like a thin layer of jam type filling sandwiched in the middle. And maybe a layer of stiff icing, topping one side for extra sweetness and or flavor and or visual interest. They come packaged too in a little foiled plastic envelope. They do not necessarily taste like food. But they're sweet and filling and delicious in a kind of sciencey way. They're like have y'all seen those medieval illustrations of animals where it's clear that the illustrator had never seen a lion or, you know, whatever it is that it was in person, but, you know, someone had given them the general concept and, like, they did their best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts are like that, but with pastries. they're almost entirely unlike hand pies. But the general concept is there and, like, bless them, they're enthusiastic.
Yeah. Once again, on point, I agree. I think, like, I can't wait till we get to some of the stuff in the history section. But a lot of people who love Pop-Tarts love them almost because of this. It's like,
yeah,
they're so, like, enthusiastic, bright, and so different from the rest of the breakfast landscape when they came out.
Certainly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Kellogg Company manufactures Pop-Tarts. They have a dizzying array of flavors, historically speaking. Right now, the ones that are featured on the brand's website. First, I guess, the crusts come in generally two formats, either like a plain, slightly salted pastry crust, like sweet, like tiny bit of salt in there, or like a cocoa pastry crust. Yeah. Fillings currently include the fruit-related category. Strawberry and blueberry, which come either unfrosted or frosted. Then frosted cherry, frosted grape, frosted raspberry, and frosted wild-licious wild berry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know what that is, but
I, you know, it's wild-licious.
It is.
There are also simply frosted harvest strawberry Pop-Tarts, which are made without artificial dyes, and they use regular corn syrup instead of high fructose corn syrup. Yeah. So much more natural. and they are made with non-GMO ingredients. Not that there's anything wrong with GMO as a category, but that's a different episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And then, all right, so those are the fruit-related flavors. Then we've got, like, the more straightforwardly dessert-related flavors, including the aforementioned brown sugar and cinnamon, which also come frosted or unfrosted. Then frosted chocolate chip, frosted chocolate fudge, frosted confetti cupcake, frosted cookies and cream, frosted hot fudge sundae, frosted s'mores, Eggo frosted maple flavor.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And snickerdoodle, which is unfrosted but does have a sprinkle of cinnamon sugar on top.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
There are also some like limited seasonal flavors. Right now, frosted gingerbread is out, and I've also seen a frosted sugar cookie. And I'm so confused about cookie flavored pastry. Like, what is that combination of words? Just doesn't. Because, like, I understand a s'mores filling, right? Like, there's, like, marshmallow, there's, like, chocolate stuff. Like, okay, like, that's, but what is it filled with?
Listeners, you gotta let us know. I did read a couple of, like, tasting notes.
Okay.
That people would taste all of the current flavors of Pop-Tarts and rate them, and it was fascinating. S'mores frequently came out on top. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Listeners, again.
Yeah. Yep. They also, the brand also makes Pop-Tarts Bites, which are little bags of bite-sized pastries. And they come in a few of the popular flavors, plus also frosted strawberry banana.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
There are also Pop-Tarts Crisps, which are like skinnier sticks that I guess are crispier.
Interesting.
I don't know. Write in. And at various times, you know, they've done tie-ins with other brands like Disney. They did a Disney Princess Jewelberry.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They did a tie-in with the U.S. Olympic team, which was also a mixed berry flavor, and it came in gold-colored foil packets. And then Hello Kitty Meow Berry. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, and they sometimes I remember where they used to do those like fancy drawings on them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think maybe the gingerbread ones have like a little like printed gingerbread man on them. And they also come with instructions for making a little gingerbread Pop-Tart house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can also make similarly shaped hand pies at home if that's a thing that you want to do. But if you sold them and called them Pop-Tarts, then Kellogg's would probably come after you.
Yes. And we wipe our hands of it.
Yeah.
We warned you here. Well, what about the nutrition?
Okay, a Pop-Tart is a calorically dense food. Lot of sugar, like at about half of your daily recommended intake of added sugars. Got some fats in there too. Not much in the way of protein. Has a few minerals that they add in. That's nice. Definitely a treat because of the sugar. And treats are nice. Treats are nice. If you like Pop-Tarts, eat Pop-Tarts, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, research into one of the preservatives that's commonly used in processed foods, including most Pop-Tarts, called tert-butylhydroquinone. I didn't look that up. you can also call it TBHQ because that's a lot easier to call something. It might dampen your immune system. That's probably not great. And this is one of the many reasons that nutritionists will generally recommend choosing fresh or frozen products over shelf-stable processed products whenever you can. But, you know, I doubt you need to worry about it too deeply unless you are eating a number of Pop-Tarts that is worrisome on its own level.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, speaking of, we do have some numbers for you.
Goodness, we do.
And some of them are quite astounding. Yeah. Sales of Pop-Tarts reached $800 million in 2013.
Okay.
According to some sources, Kellogg's sells more than 2 billion Pop-Tarts each year. And this is pretty amazing since they're primarily distributed in the U.S., like mostly in the U.S.
Yeah.
But they are also in Canada, the U.K., and Ireland. And at one point, Australia and New Zealand, though, I read that they were discontinued there and then maybe were like recontinued there. Again, listeners, write in. I read in 2005 they stopped being available there. But
oh, wow. Yeah. And especially, oh my goodness, if they have other flavors than the ones that I've just outlined, like all, let me know. Is there a Vegemite Pop-Tart?
Ooh, I can only hope. There is a very popularly circulated number that as of 2014, sales of Pop-Tarts had gone up every 32 years, which was like unheard of.
Every year for 32 years.
32 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Which is, it's very, very impressive, but surprising to me.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. right. Because like 2014 was kind of after a lot of sales of similar products had been kind of slagging.
Exactly.
Slacking, going down. There you go. world record time. The record for the largest box of Pop-Tarts was set in spring of 2021. Kellogg's and 7-Eleven teamed up to create like a large refrigerator-sized box, and then filled it with 1,331 pounds of Pop-Tarts.
Pounds?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Pop-Tarts in question were then donated to the North Texas Food Bank.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow. I found this interesting. This wasn't a super scientific study or survey, but it found that half of Pop-Tart consumers don't toast them.
Okay.
Yeah. And according to Country Living, Walmart sees a dramatic increase of the sale of strawberry Pop-Tarts specifically during hurricanes, like alongside things like bread, water, and batteries, since these Pop-Tarts are pretty shelf-stable and don't require heating. I just thought that was really interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, the history is quite interesting, too.
It is. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. the culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, the tradition of handheld pies is thousands of years old, which, yes, you can argue about Pop-Tarts and whether they qualify, but I would say they are in that vein somewhat.
Yeah. Like I said, like they're doing their best. They're so enthusiastic.
They are doing their best. And honestly, the origin story is fascinating. It's really, really interesting. Okay, so post-cereals invented what would go on to inspire the Pop-Tart in the 1960s. But there were several steps along the way. And this was, like, kind of key, I guess. You know, during the 50s and 60s was when all those kind of science-y foods were coming out. And Pop-Tarts was very much, very much in that group, that category. And, yeah, speaking of, one of the biggest steps they had to figure out to make Pop-Tarts was how to keep the fruit filling from spoiling.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So the Post Research and Development Department figured out a way to adapt the same technology they used in things like dog foods to dog food packaging, I should say, to inhibit bacteria growth and prevent spoilage. So they would wrap the food in this foil and it would keep it very fresh. The wrapped pastries could be easily shipped and didn't need to be refrigerated. Also very important during this time. Okay, so Post announced their toaster-prepared breakfast pastry in 1963 or 1964. They called them country squares.
Okay.
Okay. And they were intended to be a complement to cereal, which I find fascinating, going back to your point earlier. Jeez. But they jumped the gun a little bit because their product wasn't quite ready for launch when they announced it. And their competitor, Kellogg's, heard this announcement and got to work creating their own version. Right. They created their own version within 6 months, the story goes. They developed their own similar product and rushed to get it out before Post got theirs out. At first, Kellogg's product was called Fruit Scones, but they were soon renamed Pop-Tarts, which was a reference to Andy Warhol's popular pop art movement at the time.
Yeah, the pop art movement in which Warhol was a major player, along with other artists like Roy Lichtenstein. MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art, had just held in like 1962 a symposium on the genre. It was like a really big cultural phenomenon at the time. And so the phrase pop art would have been really front of mind for a lot of Americans right in that moment. And I cannot believe that I never heckin' put that pun together.
Me too.
Oh, it's so fun. Also, I believe that my previous note was off. I was about to say camera. We're not on camera. I guess we're talking to each other via camera. But okay. Mm-hmm. Annie's note about the cereal. Before we were recording, I was talking about how it always cracks me up watching commercials for products like Pop-Tarts because, like, it'll be a whole heckin' full breakfast with, like, a couple Pop-Tarts smack in the center of it. Like as though you were going to eat, like, a bowl of cereal, a glass of milk, a glass of orange juice, and two Pop-Tarts. And, like, that is going to be what you're up to.
Yeah. Daily. That's what gets me. That's like a special breakfast, maybe. But the implication is
they're like, no, this is what a balanced breakfast is. Right. This is how Pop-Tarts are part of a balanced breakfast. So this is normal. And I'm like, what?
Yes. Okay. Me too.
All right.
But yeah. We often do this, Lauren. We always have these conversations right before that we should really just include in the podcast.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of how we record.
It is. It is.
But anyway, yes. So the first flavors of Pop-Tarts were blueberry, strawberry, apple currant, and brown sugar cinnamon. And they were meant to be cut diagonally along the dotted lines.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah, and they were pretty much an immediate hit to the point consumers wiped them out. It was sold out within 2 weeks after its first shipment, and they were first introduced in test markets in Ohio, specifically Cleveland. Huh. But after this like great reception, they went national in 1965. I do love the Pop-Tart official website. Is very snarky in a way that's fun. And they make fun of apple currant as like no one knew what it was, so we changed the name. It's just a fun little company website. And speaking of, it's very, very interesting to me that this official website, Kellogg's timeline of Pop-Tarts on it, claims that the company's chairman tasked some employees with creating a breakfast pastry riff on jam and toast in 1963. So that doesn't really, it doesn't quite match up is what I'm saying.
Yeah. It sort of takes that like mercenary Pop-Tart development right. versus post.
Yes. Which is another interesting thing. You can read a lot of interviews with a man named Bill Post, who is not related to the Post company. Very confusing, by the way. And he was at the heart of coming up with the process of making these Pop-Tarts, these pastries. According to him, Kellogg contacted him in 1964. So again, the dates are a little messy. Asking to see some of the equipment that Post used as the plant manager at Keebler, like the Keebler elves.
Okay,
cookies,
sure.
Because they wanted to design a product for the toaster, but couldn't quite figure it out. So he gets this question from Kellogg, and his mind starts whirring. Like, oh, I got to figure this out.
Hmm.
And basically, he arrived at stacking two sheeters on top of each other. And a sheeter is like this device, each one weighing about 60 tons that you use to make kind of like dough in a line. And it allowed for stacking them on top of each other, allowed for two dough sheets to come out with filling inserted in between them. And yeah, as with many of these stories that we tell about these products, he allegedly tested Pop-Tarts out on his kids. It's like, hey, is this any good? You're our target audience. And like, yeah. Add some frosting.
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Post also said that the reason that there are two Pop-Tarts in a package is purely economic. Because if you put two in a package, especially in the early days when they weren't quite sure how long the shelf life was going to be, it cut the cost in half because of the cost of the foil. So, like,
oh, sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's worth noting, Pop-Tarts really revolutionized how people viewed toasters, which had previously been pretty much a single-use item for toasting bread. That was it. People were big fans of the idea that breakfast could be ready in 30 seconds just by popping these tarts in the toaster. I mean, Pop-Tarts works on multiple levels. I don't know if they planned that.
It's kind of brilliant.
It really is. It really is. But yeah, after that, other companies were like, what else can we put in the toaster? Yeah. Because Kellogg's rushed Pop-Tarts out, they were still refining the product in the early days. They hadn't had time to test if frosting could withstand the toaster. So that's why at first they were unfrosted. However, when testing proved that frosting could stand up to toasters, which was something else Post was integral in, he seems like somebody who was just never deterred by, like, that'll never work. He was like, watch me. Watch me and my kids who want frosting on their Pop-Tarts. Frosted Pop-Tarts debuted in 1967. Sprinkles were added into the equation in 1968. And by 1973, the product came in 19 flavors.
Huh.
19 flavors.
That's another thing we were talking about before we started recording. Like the Pop-Tart humans play fast and loose with flavors.
They really do.
Yes. They are not afraid of innovation. Go for it.
Yep.
Enthusiastic.
It's very, very interesting. We're going to talk about that more later. But it's interesting to me that they will introduce a flavor or a product idea and within months we'll be like,
yeah.
All right. Didn't work. Okay.
Enough of that one. Moving on. Yep.
And then there's a group of people who love it and like campaign to get it back. Yeah. It's just, oh my gosh. Okay. As more women entered the U.S. workforce in the 1980s and 1990s, sales of Pop-Tarts jumped. And this is really interesting because we've talked about that time period before. It's an interesting intersection of people were really wanting healthier items, but also convenience was so important. And Pop-Tarts was able to ride this kind of healthy train for a while, which is something else we're going to talk about. Over the years, yeah, Pop-Tarts have been the source of several lawsuits, some of which, yeah, we're going to briefly cover. One of the first took place in 1992 when a man sued Kellogg's after a Pop-Tart got stuck in his toaster and caught fire.
Yes,
the case caught national attention when a humor columnist wrote about a Pop-Tart catching fire in his own toaster. This was such a story at the time. Texas A&M University professor Joseph Delgado did a somewhat playful experiment in 1994 that found that strawberry Pop-Tarts could produce flames over a foot high when left in the toaster too long. You can find the study. It's complete with pictures. It is really fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't so fun for Kellogg's though, because it resulted in a wave of lawsuits and prompted Kellogg's to add this warning to the product: due to possible risk of fire, never leave your toasting appliance or microwave unattended. And this whole thing was sort of mocked in comedian Brian Regan's bit, Pop-Tart Shouldn't Have Instructions, where he just reads the instructions of Pop-Tarts to comedic effect. Okay, so yes, Kellogg's has tried a lot when it comes to Pop-Tart flavors and different iterations of their products, many that did end up discontinued. Limited flavor offerings got going in the 1990s. Pop-Tart Crunch cereal was introduced in 1994, which it looks like Wheaties, but Pop-Tarts.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Yeah. Go-Tarts. I remember Go-Tarts, which was a thicker, narrower product, were introduced in 2006, but were discontinued in 2008. They've also tried all kinds of things when it comes to advertising, including a Pop-Tart pop-up in Times Square.
Okay. Yeah.
Had Pop-Tart sushi. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I found a whole essay about the history of their marketing, and it was really fascinating. So if that's something you're into, I recommend looking it up because they got some interesting. There was a lawsuit around that as well.
Yeah.
The 90s is also when Pop-Tarts started to go international, first in the UK, where they were fairly successful, but nowhere near like the US market. Again, listeners, please write in. The U.S. military dropped 2.4 million Pop-Tarts over Afghanistan in 2001.
This was not part of the weapons program. This was part of a program to deliver rations amidst the supply chain cutoffs that the U.S. had instigated as part of its war effort. The rations did also include things like rice and beans, peanut butter and jelly, and they termed the Pop-Tarts an icebreaker, that's a direct quote, to introduce the Afghan people to American food. And that is the most embarrassing sentence I think I've ever said out loud.
Yeah. And we've said many embarrassing sentences.
Yeah, basically all of them.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that happened.
That did happen. And then more lawsuits. Beginning in the early 2000s, Pop-Tarts became the target of health groups, especially around children's health, for what they claimed were misleading advertising around nutrition and fruit content. The Children's Advertising Review Unit, or CARU, of the Council of Better Business Bureaus, called for the removal of the phrase "made with real fruit" from Pop-Tart packaging and advertising. Kellogg's agreed to do so and modified their ads and packaging. But this is still ongoing. In 2021, Kellogg's faced a $5 million lawsuit about how their Pop-Tarts didn't contain enough strawberries. There was a similar lawsuit that same year about their fudge line of Pop-Tarts. Basically, it wasn't fudge, so they can't use the name fudge.
Yeah. Which is why the Eggo co-branded Pop-Tarts are called maple flavored, not maple. Yeah.
Yeah.
But right now, the strawberry Pop-Tarts, this class action lawsuit claims, shouldn't be called or are misrepresenting the amount of strawberry involved in the Pop-Tarts, because there's also a significant amount of dried apple and dried pear in addition to the dried strawberry. So,
yeah. Yeah. I guess we'll check in on that one day. In April 2011, the original Neon Cat, which is, you know, that cat with a Pop-Tart for a body that leaves a rainbow trail as it sort of floats through space.
Yeah. Neon Cat.
was first introduced. I always think of Andrew. I don't know.
Okay.
And the video has over 100 million views, and I couldn't find any information about this, but it is one of the icons on Google Docs.
Oh, sure.
I don't know when that happened, but
yeah,
it is a thing that did happen.
I can't argue with Neon Cat. I'm just like, yeah, that's delightful.
Well, not so delightful as this fact. In 2017. The disgusting Pop-Tart sandwich meme took off.
Okay.
I never heard of this, but, you know, I said it wasn't delightful, but it actually was very funny. but basically, what happened was this college student in Iowa posted a picture of a Pop-Tart with a slice of American cheese on it with a caption that read, "You ain't from Iowa if you've never had one of these." And he was widely mocked, including by the police, Iowa police. And it started this meme of "you ain't from X if you never had one of these with Pop-Tarts," and basically trying to make the grossest
Pop-Tart. Oh, okay, sure, yeah.
And the official Pop-Tarts Twitter account got involved, tweeting, "Where is the respect these days?" And they responded a lot. Like, you can read a whole thread about it. It is quite funny, honestly.
That's great. That's great. I was curious when you, I didn't look into this one myself, so I was curious when you wrote the note. I was like, police, the band? Like, did the band police get in? The Iowa police, okay.
They
great.
Might have. People were into it. People had opinions, thoughts. It's a whole thing. It somehow bypassed me, but.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Pop-Tarts are really, really iconic in American culture. And these are just a few examples that I thought of. In the 2003 film Elf, Buddy the Elf uses Pop-Tarts as a topping for spaghetti. A song about how Pop-Tarts with butter on them, how amazing that combination is, was in a 2014 episode of Family Guy.
That is also in their frequently asked questions section of their website. Not the Family Guy reference specifically, but they're like, "Can you put butter on a Pop-Tart?" And they're like, "Yes." Just another example. When the iPhone 6 line came out in 2014, someone put together like a size chart of the most newly available iPads and iPhones, and it included in the lineup a Pop-Tart for visual reference. Like this is the standard that everyone will understand.
Right. We all know the size.
We all know the size of a Pop-Tart, so here's a really good visual guide.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this brings us to our Jerry Seinfeld fact that I alluded to.
Okay.
He's a huge fan of Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
He has this whole joke about Pop-Tarts. And in fact, you can see a making of the joke feature on New York Times YouTube about it, where he just talks about how he wrote this joke. And it's actually really interesting. Oh. But I mean, the premise is basically growing up in the 60s as a kid when the Pop-Tart arrived on the scene. It was like a new science thing had been invented. It was the best thing ever. Stop trying, scientist. You're done.
like that's enough science. You can all go home now. Yeah.
Right, exactly. This is the best thing you've ever done. Stop it. In fact, one of the lines in there is, don't you see? It's over. they can't go stale because they were never fresh. It's very, very silly. It's very, very silly. But in early 2022, Seinfeld announced he was working on an entire movie about Pop-Tarts, the origin of Pop-Tarts, called Unfrosted for Netflix. And it has quite a budget. Huh. So we shall see. Yes.
That is fascinating. Okay.
I'm telling you, when people love a product, that brand loyalty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And final note related. Uh-huh. I wasn't even going to mention this, but I could not after I read more about it. In May of 2022, Pop-Tarts re-released a fan favorite flavor from the early 2000s, Frosted Grape.
Okay.
And all of the marketing was Y2K themed.
Oh no.
The campaign was called Y2 Grape.
Oh no.
And involved a sweepstakes to win a Y2K time capsule. Winners not only received a year's supply of Frosted Grape Pop-Tarts, but a, quote, $75 Steve Madden gift card to purchase the perfect purple jelly sandals, a purple Y2K purse, one $10 Manic Panic gift card, some purple grape lip gloss, a pack of metallic gel roll pins, one pack of Y2K butterfly hair clips, and a purple hat. Look, too many memories were awakened by that list that I had to include it.
I don't think I've ever felt as tired from reading a sentence. I was like, oh, my arthritis. Oh, heck.
I still got my gel pens and my butterfly clips. Oh, my gosh.
At the same time, I cannot deny that Y2K Lauren would have been psyched to win that prize package. So good on them. Good on them.
Yeah. It was, well, you can tell somebody from the era was on the board of deciding what should be in this prize pack, for sure. It was strange to feel so seen by what is just a company sweepstakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll wrestle with that later.
Again, right? Like, it's so weird. I'm like, yeah, no, capitalism is really doing its job, because I found this heartwarming. Like, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, that's like, they really, really got their finger on it there. Yeah.
I feel like the people who won, they had to post their best, like, grape looks.
Oh, geez.
I mean, that's what... There's a part of me that wants to look more into that and a part of me that desperately doesn't. Anyway, there are so many of these kinds of stories with this company, this brand, that we could have included and didn't. Like, they are filled throughout their history with this kind of stuff.
It's brilliant. I mean there's a reason other than, like, it's sweet. It's got sugar and fat, and it's kind of crumbly, crunchy, and it's, you know, so it's tasty. Like humans enjoy eating that kind of thing. But there are clearly reasons. Like, that alone, it does not make an iconic brand. And so, and this one is so iconic, and oh, it's really fascinating to me. I also, I kind of failed to get together the science of how they make Pop-Tarts so shelf stable. But, and I kind of like, it's one of those things that sometimes you're like, oh, there's really nothing out there. Is there really nothing out there? Or am I using the wrong keywords to try to search? And so, I mean, you know, I am not a professional food scientist. This is not stuff that I just know off the top of my head. So like maybe if I can like dig into the patents and figure out which ones actually like are applicable to the Pop-Tarts brand, then I'll update y'all.
Yes. Please. What a wacky job we have.
Yeah. Yeah. So far I've found a couple that I think are for the Pop-Tarts brand that involve low moisture coatings to keep the moisture contained. And also there's a lot of talk about slurries as it relates to the filling.
That's fascinating.
Love a good slurry.
Yes. And we have listeners who are very science minded, have some experience training.
Oh, yeah.
So if you...
Oh, man.
If you have the secrets of the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. I mean, don't like break an NDA on our our behalf, but...
No, that's all right. But if you can give us like a wink, wink look in this direction.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what we have to say about Pop-Tarts for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade. With the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with... Like a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
And a toaster. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Okay, so this first listener mail I adore because we love hearing from multiple people, from a family or from a friend group or whatever, writing in about the same things or what have you. It's just such a delight to hear, like, oh,
yeah,
my mom wrote in about this. Let me clarify or let me add on this. It's wonderful.
It is. It genuinely is. So good.
Yes. So we have one of those letters to start. Becky wrote, my husband and mother-in-law recently wrote in about dill, and after hearing you ask for animal photos, I knew it was my time to shine. I am Becky, wife of Andrew, daughter-in-law of Melissa, and eater of peanut butter and pickle sandwiches and dill ranch oyster crackers. Dogs are a huge part of our lives. We have three of our own and have fostered 10, one of the many perks of working from home the last couple of years. While we haven't been overly creative with costumes, one of our dogs, Luna, is a literal angel. Oh. So we got her an angel costume for Halloween this year. We're not picking favorites, but man, is it nice to have one that listens to us. Since she is so well behaved, she gets to go with us most places. Attaches a picture of her at an Easter egg hunt for dogs, at a beer event, ales for adoptable tails, at one of our favorite local breweries, the same one with the dill slash sea salt slash sunflower seed beer that Andrew previously wrote in about, one in my hospital bed, and when she got her Hogwarts letter. She is a Pitbull Australian Shepherd Chow Chow mix. Our 13-year-old grumpy Jack Russell mix, Jace, is pictured in his devil costume. While he is not as much of a devil as Luna is an angel, he sure has his moments, including the time he jumped up on the kitchen table and helped himself to a dish of green beans, and the times he unwrapped gifts under the tree so he could eat them. And yes, that was meant to be plural because I clearly did not learn my lesson the first time. Did not think a wrapped candle would trigger him. I have also included a picture of him on the kitchen table, separate from the green beans event, and one of him in his Slytherin shirt. Our most recent addition is Izzy. She is a foster fail and is a lab pointer mix. Attaches a picture from March of 2021 where she is wearing her adorable St. Patrick's Day hat and a couple of pictures of her playing with some of her favorite toys. Even though she is almost two now, we still refer to her as our puppy. She is one of the funniest and weirdest dogs I have ever known. I could talk about these pups for hours, but I won't subject you to that. You're lucky I only sent you 13 photos because my phone has hundreds. But thank you for being a shining light in this sometimes dark world. I love listening to your podcast. And again, listeners, I'm so sorry. The pictures are so cute.
Yeah.
They're so cute. And Becky did give permission to post.
Ooh.
So
okay.
Maybe. We'll right. see. But that's adorable. It looks like you all have so much fun. These are great stories.
Yeah,
so cute.
Yeah. And oh, I'm so glad. It is genuinely heartwarming to hear about people fostering pups. That is always so good. So good.
It is. And once again, just hearing from multiple members of a family is delightful.
Oh, so wonderful. Okay. Marnie wrote, OMG, I'm listening right now and had to send this. My grandparents and dad grew up in Eastern Europe, what's now Bosnia. However, they are ethnically German, living in that area for hundreds of years. Anywho, my grandmother always made two hazelnut things. One was a cake with like 7 layers. It used hazelnuts instead of flour and had jam layers and hazelnut buttercream to die for. Then she also made a cookie called a Liebesbrief, German for love letters. These have a flaky dough that's rolled into this small circle, and then inside is a hazelnut meringue that you plop in the middle and then fold in the sides like an envelope. My sister followed my grandmother around before she passed to measure behind her, and now she makes these cookies as a gift for our almost 80-year-old father. The memories I have now are so special, so thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And those do sound absolutely delicious.
Yeah, right? Oh, goodness. One of the things that I make that my dad made, not that I think it was like a traditional family thing, but because he, you know, trained in cooking and pastry, was a Linzertort, which is an almond flour thing with raspberry filling that sounds like categorically related at mm-hmm. any rate to that first one. Those both sound delicious.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. And so many of you have written in about hazelnuts, so that's very exciting. Because yes. We were like, tell us more about hazelnut desserts, and you all answered. So thank you, as always. And thanks to these two listeners for writing into us. Mm-hmm. If you would like to write into us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
And we are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taino, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.